we have no idea the greatness of our Heavenly Father. And we read that in, I believe, it's Psalms 143 in verse 3. But it's mind-boggling sometimes for a lot of the worldly people. They don't understand the power of the resurrection. And Brother Bob Goodman mentioned last night, yes, we have a lot of religions in the world. They know something about God, don't they? But they really do not know Him. They really do not know Him. And same thing with our Lord Jesus. Yes, they heard something about our Lord Jesus, but they really don't know Him. They have no idea. So our subject today is a remembrance of Him. It's exercise of me, the way the scripture says. But the point is, this is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 to 26. On April the 5th, you and I had the privilege of being at the memorial. And it was a great privilege to be able to participate in emblems. It's a privilege, is what it is. And so this last memorial season really brings to our remembrance, brethren. It brings the remembrance of the greatness of this gift of life, which you and I enjoy, don't we? Through Christ is how we enjoy it. As well as our partnership. Our partnership, our communion with Him in the bread and in the cup. And the reason I chose this subject about remembering Him, I think that we should remember Him throughout the year, not just at memorial time. And maybe some of the thoughts that we can bring would help us to think about our Lord during the entire year. And so we want to remember Him. We want to remember the love of our Heavenly Father. Not only at memorial season, brethren, but throughout the year, we want to ever keep fresh in our memory the message of John 3, 16 and 17. You've heard many denominational systems in the world that repeat that scripture time and time again. And we do likewise the same. And I think it was brought out beautifully. The fact is, who is He? Who did He die for? And Brother Bob Goodman brought that out last night in his message. All that are in the graves will hear His voice. Not only a specific number. Not only those in God's memory, like some say. But don't forget, in God's memory, if you understand the greatness of our Heavenly Father, in God's memory, every individual that ever lived and died, God knows. That's the greatness of the Heavenly Father. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You notice it said, God so loved the world. Who's the world? Who do you think the world is? Adam. Adam is the world. We all come from Adam. The whole human race comes from Adam. But not only that, but we also want to remember how faithful our Lord carried out the Father's will even unto death. Even to the death of the cross. In our studies about the memorial, we sometimes spend 5 or 6 weeks. But in it we find that 3 times in Gethsemane He said, Thy will be done. If we can remember only that portion, sometimes it's very hard and difficult of our experiences in our own life. We know that. But by remembering Him, we're able to say, as He did, Thy will be done.
Yes.
We do want to remember him. Memorial time, brethren, is a personal affair, isn't it? It was instituted very quietly with those who were very close around him, close around our master. As we studied, it was in the upper room. Originally, it was enjoyed by a few people, plus the Lord himself. And so also was the case with his resurrection. Tim Thomason touched on that. There were no great crowds, no. There was no grand openings of any kind. It is all accomplished within the circle of a few gentle people. Yes, there was a sorrowing woman, Mary. The self-speaking of her name, and there he was, alive from the dead. And then that afternoon, a walk with the two men going to Emmaus. There was a gentle asking of the blessing upon the food. But the risen Lord had been there. They recognized him. And so we find that in this quiet of a room that he entered. This room he entered was bolted shut, real tight, because they were afraid of the Jews. And there was our Lord as he entered the room, with his two hands, with the two wounds in his hands. Few of his little faithful friends were there. They were the dearest and the best. Those who had faith in him. And then he said something. There was a gentle assurance. He says to them, because I live, you too shall live. It was personal, wasn't it? Very close. And so it is with us, brethren. We have consecrated our lives to our Heavenly Father. And we know that. We know what it means. We know what it means to die daily, don't we? We die daily to self and to the interests of the flesh. We die to a realization of our brothers is what we do. And that's what memorial is all about. And that's what the memorial is all about. As we walk, we say to ourselves throughout the year, this we do in remembrance of him. And so, brethren, we open our heart to him, to the Master, as the mentor, Master enters and says, I will come in and sup with you, and you with me. And we have that privilege, brethren. The Jewish people had been instructed to remember the Passover lamb. They were told the feast of the Passover was a memorial of the deliverance. But now, brethren, as we had studied for years on the memorial, the type has run its course now. There will be no more typical Passover lamb to remember. Our Lord knew that. He knew then what the Apostle Paul said later. He says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Yes, he said, do not remember the Lamb of Israel. Ours is the memorial of the antitype. It is a memorial of his death as the antitypical Passover lamb. And that's why he said, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, as we read the scriptures, it seems strange to be told that we are saved by a memory. But what is it that Paul just said? And read it in verse 2. Let us remember and never forget. What must we remember? And the answer is in verses 3 and 4. As we listen to that great apostle Paul, the wonderful writings that he had written for us. The words of the Master rings in our hearts, brethren, in our ears. Doesn't it? This do in remembrance of me. You do show the Lord's death. And we find it on the surface. It is hard for others to understand. It was brought out by some of the brethren these past 2 days. It is hard for other people who call themselves Christians throughout the world. It's hard for them to understand what this is all about. Some say it's God who died on the cross. But why should we remember the death of this one? Why should we remember this one more than any others? Why is our salvation based upon this memory? And what do we do about it? After all, there have been other great men that have lived and died, right? There's a lot of religious people, a lot of political people who have died for a cause, and their memory is soon forgotten. So why remember this one among so many? And why does salvation depend upon that memory? It has brought over this platform for the past 2 days. Why? Because he died for you and for me. And by remembering, we show forth his death, where we tell the message of his sacrifice, of his ransom. And that's why it is hard for some to understand, and so hard in fact that those who lived when Christ died did not understand what it was all about. Even those who took part in the crucifixion, even those who were responsible, and also those who watched and they cried. What happened? But yet, as he was being nailed to the cross, Jesus knew that they didn't know. He knew that. The soldiers who drove the nails didn't know. The crowd who stood there, wide-eyed, open-mouthed, they did not know why Jesus was on the cross. They did not know why the darkness around the cross, why the thunder and the lightnings. They didn't know that. No. Brother Bob brought to our attention about the veil being torn in half. They didn't know what happened. Many of them probably don't know till this day. They had no idea why the earth quaked. No idea. Why? Because they wouldn't long remember. They forgot very quickly. Even Peter, Apostle Peter, did not know, nor the other disciples. Why had their master died? After all, they thought that he was the one who would restore the kingdom to Israel. They did not understand. And before long, they wouldn't remember. But there was one who did understand. Think about it. There was one who was on the cross that understood. Yes. Jesus knew why he was there. And that's why he said to you and to me, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Because the others will forget, they wouldn't understand. Our Lord knew that his hour was fully come. He knew that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He knew the thunders of that hour would rumble over a few miles of countryside and it'll become silent and soon forgotten. But he knew also the event of that hour would be heralded far beyond the sound of thunder, even to Jerusalem, throughout Samaria and Judea, even to the outermost parts of the earth. And it would continue into the very courts of heaven. No wonder he said, this do in remembrance of me. Our Lord on the cross also knew that afternoon, what happened? He knew he was going to die. And he knew that Satan was after him. As the scriptures tell us, as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the dead, and that is the devil. He left his position in heaven. He knew Satan's desire was to destroy the seed of Abraham. He knew that. He knew that. Because he knew that Satan had put into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. As he had put in the hearts of the priests of Israel to persecute and prosecute our Lord Jesus. They accused him of treason. They accused him of bearing false witness and to bring about his condemnation. And Satan's aim was to destroy that Savior and save himself from destruction is what it's all about. Yes. Our Lord knew that if he was unfaithful, Satan, sin, and death would prevail. But he knew also, if he was faithful unto death, that Satan would be destroyed together with the enemies of sin and death. Yes, as we look at what happened, the stakes were high. They were great. But he was confident of the victory, that he would overcome all that. And that's why he continues to tell us, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus knew that he was setting an example. He knew that his sacrificial death would open the way for others to enter into by baptism into Christ, the anointed class, the body of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of that one bread. The heart of eternal is most wonderfully kind. The Master knew that those who followed him, they would grasp at least in some small way the love that prompts that sacrificial, and that the Father permitted his Spirit to come upon his body members. And you and I are privileged of that. And that's why he said to his disciples, John 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," he says, "it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." If you notice the 16th chapter of John, it's like a farewell to the disciples by our Lord. And he enters into the prayer on the last prayer he had in the 17th chapter. And so we find it on the day of Pentecost, together with all the consecrated and the justified since that day, the hearts of those blessed have been drawn with a desire to walk in the steps. He knew that. Our Lord knew that. That's why he says, "This do in remembrance of me," to you and to me. He knew that. And so we find that of all years, this year, it corresponds to back to about 2,000 years ago, at the time of the date of our memorial service, the resurrection of Jesus on a Sunday. This year it fell on those days. And so Jesus, at 3 o'clock, he died. He died as our Passover lamb. He died as our ransom. But a dead Christ could not be our Savior. Even though he was the Son of God, he could not save us if he were dead. The Apostle Paul makes this very clear. And Brother Tim Thomason brought that out to us. "If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. You do show forth the Lord's death. But thanks be to God that death is not the end of the story. It was the end for others. It was the end for the great many men who have died in the past, died for a cause. But when he died, it was all over. There was one thing more they could do for themselves or for others. But our Lord did not remain dead. He died, he was buried, but he rose again the third day, as Mike Hensley brought it to our attention in a prophecy. He rose according to the scriptures, and he told him about Jonah. Let us remember that. He rose on the third day. And Satan tried to keep him in the grave, didn't he? He knew that the Lord's death would be ineffectual if Christ remained dead. If he could only prevent Jesus from coming out of the tomb, that would be a victory for him. Indeed it would. And so Satan had the Jewish authorities demand a Roman guard, and they sealed the tomb, and they posted the guard. We read this in Matthew, the 27th chapter, in verses 62 to 66. And we can see how they made sure somehow that the sepulcher would be sealed. Sealed the stone. Because some people might say, well, he is risen from the dead, so let's kind of make a lie out of it, so that the last error should be worse than the first one. And Pilate said to them, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as you can. Seal that tomb. And they went and made the sepulcher sealed. That didn't help, did it? Do you remember who rolled the stone away? The angel. Yes. Satan had the Jewish authorities demand a Roman guard. Yes, they sealed the tomb. They posted the guard. Imagine that. The Lord of hosts seen it different. And his son, the King of Kings, yes, the one who sits. But now is Christ risen from the dead. His brother Tim brought it out in his message. Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For now is Christ not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of true, but unto heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Yes, he's cut up to God and to his throne, by which also we are saved, if we keep in memory what he preached unto you and to me. We here believe. So why does remembering this great event save us? Why? Because it is a story of the one who gave himself for us. It's a story of the one who rose from the dead and has appeared in the presence of God for us. It is a story of blessing all the families of the earth, is what the story is about. Bob Goodman brought it out in his PowerPoint. Let us always remember, brethren, and never, never forget the words of our Lord. I want you to do this in remembrance of me. For as we follow this admonition, brethren, we grasp the spirit of the memorial, don't we? What it means to us. We grasp the spirit of memorial of our Lord's part, but also of our part, brethren, our fellowship, our partnership, our communion in the bread and in the cup. As we grasp the spirit of memorial of his death, we'll endeavor to manifest that spirit, not only at memorial time, brethren, memorial season, but I think it should be every day of our Christian lives as we remember him. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And so, brethren, we'll continue to remember him, our Lord Jesus, that broken body for our sakes, that bread from heaven, yes, that testimonial cup that we take, and we remember him. I'd like to read to you Actually, the best thing would be to sing it, if you don't mind. We can sing the second chapter the second hymn. There's beautiful words there to remember him. We remember the pains and all the love that he had manifested for us. And so, brethren, by the grace of God, we know in thy likeness, when thou hast in thy kingdom come, and thou hast remembered me. And brother, we want to remember that. The purpose of us being together here, the messages that are presented to us over this platform concerning our Lord, concerning his resurrection. There was a survey taken, remind me of Brother Tim, talking about the power of the resurrection. There was a survey taken from a few years ago in England. How many people there really believe in the resurrection? And the percentage was only 40%. That's a small number. Because most of the people, as have been brought out here, they don't believe in resurrection, because when you die, you either go to heaven or someplace else. Eternal torture, eternal fire. And that's the problem in the world today. How few believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's difficult because they don't understand the power of God that Brother Tim brought out. All these messages that we had these past 2 days, it's going to help us to remember our Lord during his dying hours as he was raised from the dead. That wonderful ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so, brethren, in closing, it's been a great privilege being with you here. A great privilege. Words cannot express the love of you, brethren, for the love of the truth. And we know you love the truth because you are here. If you didn't love the truth, you wouldn't be here. But that's why you're here. And by being here, you do show remembering our Lord's death as well. And it was a great privilege that I'm sure you had on April the 5th in partaking the memorial in remembering his death. And so, in closing, brethren, I like to express the words that are found in hymn number 2 in your hymn books. And we'll close with those words in hymn number 2. And may the Lord add his blessing.